What a great morning of worship we have had already, and I'm excited to be able to bring this word to you this morning. We're in the third message of this new seven-week sermon series called Responding to the Plan of God. And in this time, we are looking at what is God's view of the church? Who are we as the church, and what are we called to do? And so we've been looking at that each week, and now is the next installment of that. So, at the heart of so much of anxiety and so much unhappiness is this one thing. At the heart of all that, it's comparison. Comparison. So, comparing oneself with what others have, their abilities, their resources, or their possessions. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's, fill in the blank. Their jobs, or even their ministry. Within the church, sometimes people become irritable and discontent because they're comparing themselves with what someone else is doing, their service to the community. Comparison can just as easily lead to a false sense of accomplishment, the sin of pride, that I am better than someone else because I'm comparing myself to them. And my question there is, well, what measurement are you using? What are you looking at? Comparison leads to a loss of you living up to God's potential for your life, because instead of reflecting Him, you're trying to compare yourself. So, this morning, I want to be very direct with you. To compare yourself with another person is to miss the whole point. It just completely misses it. To compare one church congregation to another church congregation, to compare one worship leader to another worship leader, to compare yourself to, to compare myself to another father or another husband or another man, for a woman to compare herself to another woman in appearance or kids or not kids, or not job, stay at home, don't stay at home, all that stuff. That's a distraction. It is a distraction from the real purpose of your life, which is to be an image bearer of God. There's only one image that matters, and that's His reflection coming from us. Image bearers of God were not meant to be like a regular mirror, okay? Like someone when they're combing out their hair, brushing their teeth, looking at their own image. That's not what we are designed to be. We are not designed to reflect ourselves. And so I want to say thank you to Winnie and the team for introducing that new song. It made me think of when John the Baptist said in John 3:30, may he increase and I decrease. And what's amazing about that verse, and by the way, this is a little extra bonus here based upon that song, in John 3:30, if you look at the grammar of that, the active tense, which means you're actively doing it, is may he increase. You are actively increasing him as an image bearer of God. The passive tense is used for may I decrease, which means it is God acting upon us to decrease us. We are never called to look in the mirror and say, do I stand out too much or do I stand out too little? And then compare ourselves with others to see, can I decrease more or this or that? That's not the point. The point is to make your life to be an image bearer, to actively work on increasing Him. And then guess what? God takes care of the rest. Isn't that beautiful? God is the one at work in us. Our job is to reflect Him. We are not designed to reflect ourselves because that leads to distraction and destruction, which we're already seeing all around us in our culture. We don't need the COVID-19 pandemic to tell us we got problems, people. That's just bringing it out. We're just seeing some of the things that were hidden underneath the surface before, because we have this problem called sin. That's our bent. And sin leads us towards false worship and idols and, you know, playing with dolls to try to get them to manipulate them. And the older we get, the better we get at playing with dolls. And the dolls get bigger. And they're real people. That's not what life's about. That is such a distraction, and it's so destructive. Now, a similar danger that we need to address is how sometimes people want to reflect the in crowd, keep up with the Joneses, You know, and that goes to covetousness. I want my spouse to be like this, or I want my house to be like this, or I want this car to fit in with this group of people's car. And we waste our lives. It's a waste of your life. I am just telling you prophetically, don't waste your life. I'm trying to keep up with the Joneses. Don't waste your life by keeping up with the reflection in the mirror, because that's not the point. And don't waste your life trying to keep up with this facade. Because it's like drinking the Kool-Aid of our culture. And God has something so much more better for us. There is no peace to be found in this game of comparison. None. None at all. We are designed by God to reflect the God we serve. Remember that from last week? And when you're trying to be like someone else, you're not reflecting him. So last week, we learned that we are to be like angled mirrors. We're to be like rounded mirrors, the kind that when you're looking around the corner, you see what's coming. So this is such a beautiful image, and I explained it last week, so go back and look at last week's message. God has put humans into his creation as angled mirrors so that he can reflect his love and his care and his stewardship of his creation through us. And here's the deal. As he's doing that, as we are loving and caring and stewarding this creation, guess what we're doing? We're reflecting his glory to everybody. So God is reflecting his love and his care and his stewardship to creation, to people, and then people are seeing his glory as we're doing that work. That is the point of our existence. We are image bearers of God, and we have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, restored to be agents of God's kingdom, to make him known, to make him visible, and we are part of God's rescue effort to do that. And that is what the church exists for. This is who we are, bought at a price. We no longer belong to ourselves. We have been purchased through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that frees us. It was God's plan from the beginning to put humans in the world as his image bearers. We distorted his image through sin. Jesus came to restore us to his image bearers, as his image bearers, through the forgiveness of our sin and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to transform us from glory to glory, to reflect the image of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful truth. So many scriptures I could share right now with you to emphasize that truth. We are called to share in the mission of Jesus Christ, to now help other people be restored, so that all of humanity can return to the Garden of Eden. And that's the promise one day of what God will do when he brings the new heaven and the new earth. And we are workers towards that glory. And we won't do it perfectly in this life. But God calls us to continue to strive for that, to reflect him. It's a beautiful thing. In fact, it's God's plan A. That is God's plan A. The church is God's plan A. And so we have this divine call, this divine command to continue the work of cultivating this world, to bring it under the lordship of God. And that's what we're doing. Okay, now here's the big point. This is the big point for today. Okay, the text I'm about to read to you, the scripture I'm about to read to you is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. It's a wonderful parable, the parable of the talents, okay? And here's the big point. I want you to hear the big point, and then we're going to read the text. We are not owners of our lives. We are stewards. We are stewards of the image of God. We reflect God to people when we steward the talents God has given us. Okay, so let's check this out. Listen to Jesus teach about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to one, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Amen. Verse 24. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you scatter no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and I gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who had the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The words of Jesus Christ. Lift them high and allow them to be planted in your heart as seeds that, according to Isaiah, will not return void. Holy Spirit of God, work these seeds into people's hearts and bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. So a primary lesson that we need to learn from this, and there's so much to learn here. Oh my goodness, I could just talk about this. There's so much, but that would be a great Sunday school class or a small group discussion. So I'd encourage you to meet with your small groups, your Sunday school classes. Do it virtually. You know, figure it out. Call each other. Talk about this. There's so much here. But one thing I want to focus on in this is that it is so clear who the owner is. The owner is the master. The owner is God. And whether they have 5, 2, or 1, they're not the owners of it. They are stewards. They are household managers of what God has given these people. And it's true for us too. Our very lives, all that we have, our citizenships, our friendships, our relationships, any possessions, anything that we have, we are just managers of. We are stewards of the very life we have. Even the life we have is not our own. Everything belongs to God. And here's the deal. I was talking earlier about comparison, and this is why I started that way. Because whether you have a 5-talent life, a 2-talent life, or a 1-talent life, the point is you have a life. The point is you've been given much. Don't compare yourself with others, because to compare yourself with someone who might have a 5-talent or a 2-talent life, and you're like, oh, I'm just a 1-talent life, and by what measurement are you even thinking that? How do you even know that? You don't know what God's given you. Yours is to steward, to discover and steward what God's given you. The point is to use the life you've been given for God's glory. There it is. There it is. The whole point of this is for you to use the life you've been given to God's glory, because it doesn't belong to you and you can't keep it anyway, so stop living like you can. There it is. That's what he designed us to do. He designed us from the beginning. And I think one of the biggest issues is we have our hands so tight. We have our hands so tight on so many things that God is just trying through the circumstances and the providence of our life to open up our hands and say, God, you give and you take away. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Lord. You are stewards of the life God has given you, not owners. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, Paul says this, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price." So what? What does Paul say here? "So glorify God in your body." You have been bought at a price. You have been redeemed and restored to be an image bearer of God, to reflect His glory. There it is. And when we compare ourselves to others, when we try to keep up with the Joneses, we are distracted and we are doing damage, even when we're doing it in the name of Jesus. God has given us talents. Now, talents, obviously, in the context of this, Jesus is talking about money. But here's the deal. A majority of commentators, of pastors and theologians read this. It's not talking about just money. It's talking about the entirety of your life, the entirety of what God has given you. Yes, there are specific ways God has gifted different people. I could never be a Winnie Logan up here leading us in music. I could never be a Chris Logan or a Kevin Stonerock leading with that kind of musical gifts. Okay, I just don't have that. I love music, don't get me wrong, but I just don't have that gift. And that's okay. I don't want their gifts. I want them to reflect God in their gifts. And all I want is for God to be glorified through all that He's given me. What has God given you? What has God entrusted to you to steward? Because that's the point. Taking everything He's had. Yes, it's your money. Yes, it's your time. Yes, it's your citizenship. Yes, it's your relationships. Yes, it's every aspect of your being. It's all God's. It's not yours. How are you going to steward it? That's the point. Okay, now, let me illustrate this. The moon. The moon reflects the sun. But it doesn't matter if you think you're a new moon or a full moon or somewhere in between. Yours is to reflect the sun. Does the new moon get jealous of the full moon? Does the crescent moon feel incomplete? The point is for you to reflect the sun at whatever season of life you're in, new or full. And that's the beautiful thing about the moon. The moon knows it's not a star in the sky. It's a moon. So what does it do? It reflects. It reflects. What matters is that you were designed to reflect the sun, and to not reflect yourself, to not compare yourself to different seasons of life or different people in different seasons of life or different perspectives of where people are standing. Because someone on one side of the world may think something different about someone else on the other side of the world. That's not the point. The point is for you to reflect the sun. The moon can't... Now, the moon can work its entire life on figuring out how to make itself the best moon it can possibly be. But that's all vanity of vanities if it inhibits its created design to just be the moon. I think we do that. I think we are in a culture of constant personal improvement, constant upgrading of our apps and our operating systems. So we have this kind of self-help mentality. Okay, and I'm not speaking out against that. I'm just saying, listen, friends, you can be so caught up in the current fad or the current diet or the current whatever because you're trying to do some kind of self-help thing to make yourself the best moon you can be. But the bottom line is you're just supposed to steward what God's given you for the one purpose alone of reflecting Him. We can't get distracted from that. I want you to hear something Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:41. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory. Okay, I know you might think I'm reaching here, okay? But here's the deal. The scriptures clearly indicate that we're all intended to do one thing, and that's not compare ourselves with other things, but to reflect His glory. I hope you get that. So I'm going to move on, assuming you did. If not, text me, call me. Let's figure this out. If you have not yet wrapped your mind around this one truth, that every part of your entire life is about reflecting his glory and making him known, then please call me, reach out to me, talk to one of the elders, press 9 on your daily phone call. Let us know. We need to talk about that. That's foundational. So let's move on. God created humans to uniquely be his image bearers, to reflect his glory to the created realm. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We have been created to reflect his glory to the heavens and the earth through our love, care, and stewardship of all that he made. God gave us a sacred status as humans from the very beginning. And I want to turn to Genesis, and I want to read this to you real briefly, because I think you need to hear it again. I think we've read this every week, because we got to understand that the Great Commission is grounded, anchored in the First Commission. Okay? So Genesis 1, 27 to 30 says this. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with its seed and its fruit, you shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And I think the reason why we've done so much damage is because we've seen all that as owners who can do what we want with it. Instead of as stewards who are to cultivate it for God's glory. And there's a difference. World of difference. And we can go in so many directions with this, but we're going to stay focused. Being an image bearer of God is who you are. It's your status that God has breathed into you. It is more than an attribute. It is more than a characteristic. It's more than a capability. And I just want to make that clear, because it's basic theology, obviously. But so many of our our pro-life stances and so many of those things fall apart if we think image of God is about my cognitive abilities. Well, then does someone have less cognitive ability, or has not yet developed their cognitive ability, or has some kind of issue in their life that caused them not to cognate well? Does that mean they're less the image of God? No! See, that's the thing. Being in the image of God is not about those things. Being in the image of God is about the fact he created you in his image and he breathed his life into you. From the womb, from the moment of conception, you are an image bearer of God. That's who you are. The image of God is your status. It's your identity. And when we connect that foundational truth with what it means to be the church, then we stop identifying ourselves with all these lesser things, like our job titles. Yes, I am a pastor at First Baptist Church, but I am not a pastor. I am an image bearer of God. I am a born-again, spirit-filled believer. I am a member of the body of Christ. I am a representative, an ambassador of Christ. I am a reconciler of people to God through the proclamation of the gospel. I am more than what I do. And you see, here's the thing about this parable of the talents. The reason the guy with the one talent really, really got off course is because he didn't have a right view of God. He didn't have a right understanding of what God had called him to do. He didn't understand stewardship. He was bitter towards God because he thought he was an owner. And you see, when we think we're owners of our lives and we start getting old and life starts slipping from us, then we start getting bitter. When something doesn't go the way we think it should go, then we get bitter. And here's the thing. Every opportunity you have to get bitter is also an opportunity to get better. And when you have the right view of God and the right view of yourself, because there's nothing more important than your view of God. Everything about you is shaped by your view of God. When you have a right view of God, then you can have a right understanding of yourself. And then here's the good deal. No matter how many talents he's given you, what he's called you to do specifically, your identity is secure in him because it's about who you are, not about what you do. There's freedom in that. There's contentment in that. There's peace in that. Does he call us to do great things for him? Absolutely. But those flow out of your identity, which is all about your faith in God. His faith in you as an image bearer because he's chosen you, he's redeemed you, he's rescued you, and he's called you to be a part of his plan. Wow. We are image bearers. We are the ones that God has chosen and called to reflect his love and care and stewardship of the world to all of his creation. I want you to listen to Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. Listen. Do all things. You know what? This is so important. I'm going to do this. I want you to see me reading this to you because this is not your pastor speaking. Jerry is not in the house right now. This is God speaking to you directly through his word of God. Here we go. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. If you get this, it will change your marriage. It'll change your life. It'll change all your relationships. It'll change our church. It's that big. Okay, ready? Okay, here we go. Philippians 2, 14 to 16. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. That will change the world. If we can wrap our minds around that and why the way we relate to one another, the way we do is so important, because we are intended to be like the moon who reflects the sun. We are to shine according to this. Right here, Philippians 2, verse 14. You shine as lights in the world. Jesus said he was the light of the world, and because we are his image bearer, he said, we are the lights of the world. Get it? Powerful. How are you stewarding what God has entrusted to you? That's the question. How are you stewarding your identity as a born-again, redeemed image bearer of God? You have been given the Spirit of God, and where there is light, there can be no darkness. It's amazing. How are you reflecting the light of the sun? How are you reflecting the light of the sun? We are to shine like the moon shines at night. The moon does not compare itself with others. It simply reflects the light and the glory of the sun as it was designed to do. The moon doesn't compare itself to Saturn's 82 moons. The moon doesn't feel socially distanced because Earth has only one moon and Saturn has 82. The moon doesn't desire to be a star because it knows it's a moon. It's not distracted by the seasons. It simply reflects the light of the sun. And the light from the sun is so perfectly assimilated with the face of the moon that the two are inseparable to the human eye, to such a point that so many people out there don't even know that the moon has no light of its own. They're so perfectly assimilated. Wow. That is our potential. And even though we know we will not perfectly do it in this life, we are on a progressive journey towards being that way. We know one day we will be face to face with him and all that will be perfect. But we strive daily on this journey of submitting ourselves to glorifying God through all that we have, so that his light will be perfectly assimilated to our face, so that when people, like Winnie said, when people look at Winnie, they don't see Winnie, they see Jesus. When people look at Jerry, they don't see Jesus. When people look at you, they don't see Jesus. They don't see you, they see Jesus. That's the thing, is we don't want people to see us. We want people to see Jesus. That's what it means to be a good steward of our lives. I want you to hear this in Jesus' own words. John 17. Because I don't want you to get distracted and think, well, Jerry, this is all great, but this sounds like something that the church came up with later. Jesus never said things like this about himself and about us. That's not true. Listen to John 17. Jesus' high priestly prayer. You know I love this prayer. Verses 22 to 26. The glory that you have given me, this is Jesus praying to his Father. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them as you love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Words of Jesus. It's our being that matters. It's our faith in God that matters. It's who he says we are that matters. But our doings demonstrate our being. What we do flows out of who we are, and who we are is shaped by who God says we are in our faith, our belief in him. You are redeemed and restored to be an image bearer. And as an image bearer, you have one purpose. This is the plan of God, to make him known. That is the Great Commission. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that the Son has come to make all things right. To make all things right in God's creation. To bring things back from the devastation and the destruction of the fall, and bring them back and bring them towards the new heaven, new earth. And we are participants in that redemptive work now as image bearers of God. That is the purpose of the church. When we know who we are, we will steward what we have in agreement with God's plan for our lives. God is in the process of bringing all of his children home because he's a good, good father. He has made the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father but through him. Jesus has called us to reflect him so that people will see him and then come to him because he's the way back to the Father. And we have to respond to that now. We have to respond to the plan of God. And so here's my question for you. How are you stewarding what God's given you? How are you stewarding what God's given you? I made a little list here. God has given you relationships. First, he's given you his relationship with him. How are you prioritizing and stewarding your relationship with God? How are you stewarding your relationship with other people? Because God loves people. And if we love God, we'll love people. How are we stewarding the gift of time and the life, the very life we've been given? Those are so important things. How do you steward the time? It's his that he's given you. Every day you wake up and you see a new sunrise, or my 10 a.m. phone call wakes you up, either way. How are you stewarding that day? Okay, health and wellness. How are you stewarding the temple of the Holy Spirit that he's given you? Because this is the tool. He loves all of you. Not just your soul, but all of your living being. That's why the physical resurrection is so important, because he loves all of his creation. Okay, you expected this one. Money, possessions, everything you have been given is for his glory. How are you stewarding that? How are you being faithful? How about your job? I call them vocations. Doesn't matter what you do, it's not about making the money. Before, it's about glorifying God. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Whether you're packing meat, or you are a school teacher doing distance, or you're about to reopen the library, or you're about to do whatever. Whatever you do, do it with your whole heart to the glory of God. How are you stewarding your vocation, your job? And if you're retired, how are you stewarding your retirement? Because that's part of the talents you've been given, the privilege of retirement. How are you stewarding it? How about the privilege of your church membership? Because it is a privilege to be chosen by God to be a member of his church. How are you stewarding God's gift of being a member of the body of Christ How are you stewarding the gospel? Because you've been chosen by God to be a minister of reconciliation, an ambassador of Christ. How are you stewarding the gospel message? Do you know it? Can you steward it? One friend said to me, "We think of these abilities or things, but we can also look at other things as gifts. Our life, our breath, our citizenship, the neighborhood you live in. Yes, even the place you live and the people who live around you, those are gifts from God to steward. The family you were born into, the positions we hold in society, all of this is a talent that needs to be stewarded." And so, brothers and sisters, seize the moment. Seize the moment. You hear that from me every day in the morning phone call. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up here. They're going to help us respond. And here's the call. Right now, don't turn the TV off or your gadget, whatever you're using. Seize the moment and steward the gift of your life well by growing in your relationship with Jesus. That's what it's all about. Learn from Jesus how to be generous with what God's given you. Don't compare yourself to others, but rather invest what you have into others. Christian stewardship. Christians are called to steward things to rescue people. What the world teaches us is that we're to use people to get things. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. We're not to use people to get things. We're to steward all this stuff, all this life God's given us, to rescue people, to win people. That's what our life is about, because we're not owners of our lives. We're stewards. We're stewards of the image of God. We're stewards of His glory that is meant to be reflected in us and through us. And so my question to you is, what are you doing with the gifts and the talents that God has entrusted to you? Lord Jesus, thank you for the many gifts that you have given us. Let us count our blessings right now. Thank you, God, for the many good gifts you've given us. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for. And let us now dedicate ourselves to stewarding them well for your glory, so that the world may see the shining light of the sun. May we reflect you. In Jesus' name, amen.